Welcome to Watching Bloomington with your host, Barry Lesso. Each week, B97 and Hoosier Country bring you stories about nonprofit agencies helping people in our area. Stay informed, stay involved, and stay tuned.
Welcome to Watching Bloomington, where each week we talk with a community leader who helps make this a better place to live. And we're real pleased with us this morning to have Emily Pike from New Hope for Families. Hi, Emily. How are you?
Good morning, Denise. I'm great. How are you?
Good. So you have a tiny little bit of construction going on right now.
Oh, yeah. Just a little project. No, it's a great big project. So we are working at the corner of Morton and Grimes. If you drive by there and wonder what that site is, that is the new home of New Hope for Families, the future home, rather, of New Hope for Families. So we're very excited to be working on that.
Now, it looks like it has a couple different parts. Explain that a little.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, New Hope does a couple of things to serve families impacted by homelessness. One of those things is that we offer shelter to families impacted by homelessness. And we do that to families as they self-define, which makes us kind of unique. So that means that we will accept single moms, single dads, married couples, unmarried couples, same-sex couples, custodial grandparents, transgender parents, about any kind of family you can think of, as long as there's a kiddo in the mix. So that's our requirement, is that we serve families with children. And then we also offer early childhood care and education to those kids in a mixed income cohort. So what we're doing there in that construction site is building both of those things. So, you know, with the redevelopment of the site that we're currently on, we knew that we had to make a change. And we also knew that, gosh, you know, the space that we have right now isn't enough to meet the community's needs for either one of those things. So we thought, okay, if we're going to make a move, let's go ahead and make a move that can more fully meet the needs in this community. So right now we can shelter seven families at a time on site, but the truth is we are always, always full. And in fact, you know, a few years ago, Denise, as you well know, we made a commitment to Bloomington, and Bloomington made that commitment right back to us, saying that, you know, this is not a community where any child should ever have to sleep outside, live in a car, or be separated from their family in order to have a safe place to sleep. So what that means is when our shelter is full and we have families with nowhere else to go, we put those families up in motels to make sure that they are safe, to make sure that they're not in the park, to make sure that they're not in a car, and to make sure those kids aren't in foster care unnecessarily. So we're really excited about adding some capacity here. Right now we can do seven families at a time. This space will allow us to do 12 families at a time. So that's a 70% increase. We're very excited about that.
That's great.
Yeah. And then on the early childhood side, we're talking about an even bigger increase. So right now we do 16 children, and this will allow us to do 48 children. So that's a 200% increase.
That's wonderful. Now, talk a little bit, if you don't mind, about your approach, because it's a little bit different and you've had really great success. So can you explain a little bit about how you approach this and why it works?
Absolutely. Yeah. So, you know, the most recent numbers from IHCDA, which is, you have to excuse me, I fall into that alphabet soup problem sometimes. IHCDA stands for the Indiana Housing and Community Development Authority. And they're sort of like the state version of HUD. And what they do is they track all the housing things that go on in the state, and they work to support programs for that. And according to their most recent data, about 39% of people who stay in emergency shelters move out into stable housing. Now, at New Hope, for the past 6 years, that number has been higher than 80%. So that's more than double the average, and we're really proud of that. And the truth is, you know, I'd like to say that, gosh, we're just really special. But the truth is, and we are really special.
You are, yes.
But the truth is, you know, what we're doing is really looking at what are evidence-based practices and what are things that we know can be successful. And so at New Hope, we follow what's called a housing first approach. And housing first is exactly what it sounds like. It says that if you are homeless, the most important thing that we can do, and in fact, the only thing that will fix homelessness, is a home, right? And that sounds intuitive, and it is intuitive, but actually, you know, we used to do it in a slightly different way. And when I say we, I mean collectively, our country used to do it in a different way. And also we at New Hope used to do it in a different way. So we used to sort of say, gosh, Denise, I'm so sorry to hear that you and your family have become homeless. Why don't you come on into our shelter and work through this program? And I want you to tell me all of the things that caused you and your family to become homeless so that we can identify each of those things and correct each of those things so that then we can move you out into stable housing. Now that seems like it makes sense. But the problem is anything that causes a family to become homeless is not going to get better while you're homeless, or at least it's not going to get better on its own while you're homeless. And in fact, a lot of those things are going to get worse. So if you've got a mental health problem that is causing you to have trouble keeping a job or staying in your home, that's not going to get better while you're homeless. If you've got a hard time finding a job, it is, I mean, it's really hard for me even to find a word to describe how difficult it is to find and keep a job while you're homeless. If you are having a substance use problem, that is not going to get better. If you have a childcare problem, if one of your kids has a special need, we see a lot of families who have kids with special needs. These are things that are not going to easily resolve during a period of homelessness. And so what Housing First says is, okay, we're going to pause on all those things, and focus our efforts exclusively on housing. Which doesn't mean we can't do a little of those other things, but it's always voluntary and it's always secondary. So being able to do that allows families to put first things first, right? And to focus on the thing that's going to get them across the finish line. And for us, that means a lease that's in your name that you can afford. And that piece is really important, because we see a lot of very young families who become homeless because they actually never had a lease in their name. They were sharing a place with a relative, and that arrangement, which was informal, ended. So being in your name protects you from being in an uncomfortable situation on the road. That housing and voluntary services, those are the two kind of things that we attribute new success to.
That makes a lot of sense. So are you finding any impact? You know, of course, with the pandemic, looked like things were getting better. It's going a little bit the other way, unfortunately, right now. But, you know, some of the helps that were in place, like the moratoriums ended. So are you seeing any impact from that, or do you anticipate one?
Yeah. So, you know, unfortunately, one of the things that we know is that for any economic crisis, homelessness is not very often an immediate effect, but we do understand that if we look at historic data, you know, it trails by kind of 12 to 18 months. So we have seen a dramatic increase in demand actually from day one of the pandemic. So, you know, in the 12 months following the onset of the pandemic, we served 70% more families in shelter than we did in the 12 months preceding it. So it's a huge, huge difference. And we've seen that taper off just a little bit, but it's still considerably higher than usual. And it's interesting that you mentioned the moratorium, because, you know, we expected to see some folks ending up with evictions. And we have seen some of those. But the other thing that we're seeing that was really interesting and that we hadn't really prepared for was that we are seeing folks who haven't been evicted, but whose landlords have just declined to renew their lease. So, you know, in the month of July, we probably had over 20 phone calls from families who said, look, we're not getting evicted. The landlord just said, we're changing this location, or we're changing our fee structure, or whatever it is. And we're not going to be able to renew your lease this year. And because we have such a housing crisis in this community, those families had no other option. The other thing that, you know, can be hard to remember if you're not any longer in a place where you renew a lease every year. And I know that many people are and many people aren't, but, you know, changing a lease is expensive, right? So all of a sudden you have to come up with a new deposit. You've got to come up with moving expenses. You've got to come up with your, you know, first and last. And so, and application fees at who knows how many places. So if those application fees are $50 and you've got to apply at eight places, plus come up with a $900 deposit, plus come up with first and last, all of a sudden you've got a pretty significant chunk of money that you're looking at. Mm-hmm. And for families who are already living on the edge, that is something that they might look at and say, actually, we simply don't have the resources. Mm-hmm. So that's something that is different this year than it has been in the mm-hmm. past. Normally we would expect to get two or three or four of those calls. Mm-hmm. So 20 was a huge number. You know, there was one night in late July, early August, where we had seven families in our shelter and an additional seven families in motels.
Wow.
Thankfully, I've got a crack team over there at our shelter who did fantastic work, and they've been able to get a lot of those people moved out and into stable housing already. We do recognize that this is an ongoing problem in our community.
Mm-hmm. And one of the things, I mean, I know that is an emphasis for you is to prevent people from becoming homeless as well. So it sounds like you're very involved with families who are sort of on the brink of homelessness, but aren't quite there yet.
Yeah. And you know, the truth is that's an interesting thing. And I'm glad you brought that up. That is something that we are trying to focus a lot of our efforts on these days. You know, the goal would always be to catch families before they fall, right? So sometimes, and some of these families who called us in July, for example, were able to help them get straight into something new, or were able to help them work with their current landlord. You know, landlords really want to be generous people, and they are generous people. And they feel the insecurity around this just like everyone else. And sometimes they're property managers who have an obligation to an owner. But if we're able to kind of come in and be advocates, sometimes we're able to help families do that. And then the other thing is that, you know, for the past 14 months or so, New Hope has served for as a hub for the state of Indiana's homelessness prevention effort. So along with Beacon, we're one of the places that's helping to distribute those state funds to make sure that families who have been impacted by the pandemic and do have the means to continue paying that lease in an ongoing way can have the temporary support that they need to be able to stay where they are if that's the problem. So folks who are interested in that can check out IndianaHousingNow.org. And there are some good options there. So that is a program. All those applications have to come through the state portal. So if someone calls New Hope, we'll say, go to the state portal. Someone calls Beacon, they will say, go to the state portal. But you'll see once you get there, there are lots of different options about the kind of program that you're looking for. So there's mortgage assistance as well as rental assistance.
And I would imagine that would help everybody because it would allow families to stay in housing, as you talked about. And for a lot of landlords who are small landlords, having that continued income is probably very helpful.
Absolutely. You know, this moratorium has been hard on landlords. Mm-hmm. And we don't tend to think about landlords as being a population that's adversely impacted. But the truth is they really have been. Mm-hmm. You know, we were talking, Denise, just a moment ago about this expansion project that New Hope is working on, which is so exciting. One of our major partners in that has been the Bloomington Board of Realtors. And those guys, you know, it's been so neat for me to get to meet all of those folks. And, you know, what we really found was this tremendous parity between our two missions, right? That we both want to get families into homes. But I've also been able to hear from them a little bit about how this has impacted them and their livelihoods and their businesses. So the last thing they want is to put a family out. On the other hand, they have their own families to take care of. And so recognizing that it's not always quite as simple or straightforward as we'd like it to be. But and this is going, you said, that supports both of those groups.
Yeah. And kind of building on that too, you know, you'd mentioned that group and you've mentioned several segments now. So looking at this from a broader community perspective, what are your thoughts on that just in terms of looking at housing affordability and how does this fit into that bigger picture?
Yeah. I mean, there's no question that we are in a serious housing affordability crisis. And it's really causing a lot of housing instability in our community. You know, when we look around, We understand that it's harder every year to find an affordable lease. And that's not just for renters, right? It's harder every year to find an affordable home to purchase. So, you know, understanding that, one of the things that New Hope has been really proud to participate in is this community-wide effort led by the United Way and the Community Foundation to sort of say, what can we do on a more comprehensive level to think about, you know, making sure that the policies and the practices that we have in place support what we know are our community's values, right? So our community is a welcoming place. Our community is a generous and compassionate and supportive place. And so what can we do to make sure that the ways that we think about housing, the ways that we act around housing are upholding those values?
And any particular like goals or steps or priorities that the group's identified at this point?
Yeah, you know, I will say I'd have to check in with those leaders to make sure that we're ready for that. But, you know, I can say that this is a really broad group with lots of community stakeholders, including private business, including the city government, including the county government, including townships. This has been a really tremendous effort and lots of service providers. So being able to step in. So I can say that what's being worked on now is a comprehensive plan. And that's something, you know, folks have more questions, they can reach out to Afra Pfefferman or to Tina Peterson. But those folks I know will be happy to answer. And I think pretty soon we'll be ready to talk more publicly even about this. It's very exciting.
That's very definitely exciting. Now, you've mentioned a number of, you know, community partnerships. And I think you recently mentioned you had some other exciting partnership that you're working with.
Absolutely. So, you know, we are longtime friends of ours, our IU Credit Union. And IU Credit Union is celebrating 65 years in Bloomington, which is so exciting. And we're so pleased for them. You know, they're such a wonderful resource in our community. And one of the things that they wanted to do was make some gifts to some local organizations. And we're really pleased. So they sent out a poll and allowed lots and lots of people to vote. And New Hope was chosen as their community partner for social service agency. So that comes with some financial support. And of course, it comes with the ongoing friendship of a really fantastic and impactful agency in our community. We're so pleased.
Well, congratulations. That's very exciting. Now, of course, you know, you mentioned this, the whole idea of support. Now, New Hope is a nonprofit organization, correct?
It is.
Oh, so I imagine that you rely on support for donors for a lot of your activities.
We absolutely do, you know, and Denise, it's been such an amazing and complicated 18 months, right? But I'll tell you, this has been a time when once again, this community has really risen up to meet the need. And, you know, that's a place where we still are. We still have that increased need. We still need that increased support. You know, sometimes I think people think that agencies like mine are largely funded by the state. The truth is, you know, federal and state dollars make up for somewhere between 15 and 20% of our budget. And the rest of those dollars come locally. You know, with more than half of our gifts coming from individuals and families who do write checks, who do attend events and have exciting things to say. But, you know, that is something that we are always looking for. And I think it's a really impactful way for folks to give back in our community. Because, you know, as I've mentioned a couple of times now, Bloomington is a supportive place and Bloomington is a generous place, but sometimes it can be difficult to know, you know, what is the best way to do this? And so I think it can be really nice for folks to be able to say, hey, these are some folks who have outstanding outcomes. And that's what people want, right? People want to be able to say, hey, you know, success in shelter. Sometimes I think we fall into this trap of thinking that it has to do with the number of people in your beds, when the truth is success has to do with the number of people out of your beds.
That is
absolutely.
Well put. Yeah. So if, you know, if someone's listening and wants to help out, what's the best way for them to do that? How should they reach out to you?
Yeah, absolutely. So the first and easiest way is to go to our website. We have a brand new website. It's very beautiful. Thanks to John Mitchell Creative, by the way. And it is at newhopefamilies.org. So newhopeforfamilies.org with the number four instead of the word four.
Very nice. Well, Emily, thank you so much for being with us this morning and sharing some really wonderful information, and good luck with the continued expansion project. And when are you looking to have that open, do you think? What's the target date?
Yeah, so we expect substantial completion by the end of the year. We'll open shelter in January, and we'll open early childhood in the spring. So we're very excited about it.
Well, good luck with continued projects there. And thank you so much for being with us this morning and sharing a lot of great information.
Thanks, Denise.
Yeah. And this has been another edition of Watching Bloomington, and we'll see you again next week.
You've been listening to Watching Bloomington with Barry Lesso, brought to you by Carl Lamb, attorney at law. For 37 years, Carl Lamb has been a premier attorney in South Central Indiana, helping his clients through extremely difficult times, drawing on his experience, reputation, and responsiveness. For a free initial consultation, call Carl Lamb today at 812-332-1420. Want more? Listen to full episodes on our website at whcc105.com and wbwb.com.